You know, Chandler Church, the holiday season of Christmas is a special time where we consider the miraculous gift of God's grace to us through Jesus Christ. And as we reflect upon the kindness of God towards us as sinners that he has shown in giving his Son to us, we choose throughout this Christmas season to love and give back to others. And so it is that we often seek to fulfill the hopes and the dreams of our family, our friends, and those who are close to us by giving. For that reason, the Christmas season truly is a season of dreams. In fact, whenever I think of Christmas, I can't help but think of that all-time Christmas classic favorite sung by Bing Crosby, "I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas." Now, here in Arizona, we only have light Christmases with sunshine because that's what we shovel all year long. Amen. But Bing wanted a white Christmas, and you recall those words and those lyrics where he said, "I'm dreaming of a white Christmas just like the ones I used to know." You know, there has been something in Bing's life or his times or his experiences that he wanted to hearken back to because it touched his heart and his life, and it made him dream about it. You know, all throughout the Christmas season, we think about our dreams, but unfortunately, all too often, our dreams are more often material rather than spiritual. I mean, we look at all the Christmas dreams that are fulfilled on the commercials throughout the holiday season, don't we? You know, I look through channels every now and then, and every time around this year, I see that Lexus December to Remember commercial come on. You know it, right? Where the family is sitting in the perfect, pristine home with the tree all lit up and presents are around it. There's sparkling cider on the table, and the husband and wife come together and give a loving kiss. And as they're exchanging gifts, the wife comes to the husband with keys that have a red ribbon. And the husband looks outside into the driveway, and there it is, a brand new sparkling Lexus. And they say, "December to Remember." Jeremy Ingram, I get all sorts of jealous and indignant. Like, who gets a Lexus for Christmas? Like, I get offended. Amen? Like, who does that? And then I call Haley, and, "Haley, look at this wife. Why can't you be more like her?" But you know what, beloved? At the heart of a Christmas story are spiritual dreams. When we look at the heart of the Christmas story, the story of God's incarnation, of God becoming a man, we see that it is guided and governed by dreams. I'd like for us to discover that today as we open in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. And as we go in our Bible study to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, I want you to see today that Christmas is in fact, beloved, a dream season. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, that was read so well by Hope and Noble Davis. I'm so proud of my son and daughter. I have to take a little bit of credit for that. I helped make them. Amen. So, Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. When you're all there, please say amen. Amen. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because her child is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And as she gives birth to this son, you are to give him the name," what, everyone? "Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Can you say amen today? You know, so often when we think about the holiday season, we think about angels and shepherds and visions and revelations. However, at the heart of the guiding and governing process of God coming into the world through his Son as Jesus Christ, it was guided and governed by dreams. In fact, when we see that the Magi from the East wanted to come and meet the Messiah, worship him, and give him gifts, they were guided and directed by dreams. You know, as they came, they saw and met Herod, and they said, "We've come to find the one that is the Messiah." And Herod consulted with his Bible scholars and said, "You know what, where is he supposed to be born?" And they told him where, and the Magi went to look for Jesus, and they found him. They worship and adore him. And Herod said, "But you know what, when you find him, I want you to come back and tell me where he's at." Herod, having diabolical designs, desired to kill the baby Jesus so that he could continue his reign forever. And so it was that after they worshiped and adored the baby Jesus, after they praised and gave him gifts to his family, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 12 that these magi from the east, these uncircumcised Gentiles, were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and having been warned in what, Chandler Church? A dream. Not to go back to Herod. They returned to their country by another route. In fact, after having that dream, the Bible tells us that an angel of the Lord now came to Joseph. And the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a what, Chandler Church? A dream. He said, "Joseph, I want you to get up. I want you to take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." And then after that, at the time when it was time for Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus to return to their homeland, we're told in Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, that after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a what, Chandler Church? A dream. And said to Joseph, "Go back up now, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were trying to take the child's life, they are now dead." You know, as I was studying through the Christmas scene in the Bible today, I realized that Christmas is a time of dreams. And this season, this story, this narrative we are told about the first coming of Jesus Christ into the world. So often we think about the angels and the shepherds and their interaction. But you know what, church? I believe this. I believe that God wants to interact with his church on a closer, more intimate level. What do you think today? We've lost our concept and our understanding, our belief in the power of God to communicate to us through dreams. You know, very often we talk about the world losing its faith, America becoming more secular. We've just finished as a church a series on apologetics and the reasons we have to believe. And we see how science is influencing our world to move away from God and not to trust in him as much as they did. And friends, I believe this is happening in our avenues of communication with God as well. In fact, our good old friend Sigmund Freud, who is a psychologist, he said he did not believe in God, by the way. Did you see how happy his psychology makes him? You see that? You see how glad he is? But Sigmund Freud, who did not believe in God, he said this. He says, "Your dreams, they are not communications from God. God is not trying to talk with you." He says, "A dream is simply this. It's a wish fulfillment that you want that, and because you want that, your subconscious mind is projecting that." To other scientists today, they say that our dreams are an important piece of information that surfaces through the clutter of the subconscious mind. But in all of these scientific explanations for those visions that you have in your head at night when you rest, God is not in them. But when I read through the Bible, and I study the scriptures, Chandler Church, my Bible tells me that God is trying to talk to each and every one of you through your dreams. See, dreams are important throughout Scripture. All throughout the Bible, we see the Bible communicating with people through dreams. And so it is that as we enter into this Christmas season and we consider all the things that we want as a church, me as a pastor, this year, I'm dreaming not of a white Christmas, but I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas. That is, the type of church, the type of body of believers, the type of family of faith where God speaks to them and they can hear and receive the message that God is giving. You see, God is communicating all throughout Scripture to people through dreams, and we see it in the Old Testament, like in Genesis chapter 20. For those of you who know your Bibles, you know that narrative and that story when Abraham and Sarah go on a trip and they encounter King Abimelech, and Abraham lies to Abimelech saying that Sarah is not his wife, but a near relative. And as he lies, Abimelech says, well, you know what? I'm going to take her as my wife. And so it is, the Bible says that as Abimelech takes Sarah to be his wife, God comes to Abimelech in a what, Chandler Church? In a dream. And says, behold, you are a dead man. For the woman that you have taken, she belongs to someone else. Those of you who know the story of Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, that as Jacob is fleeing from his brother and his wrath, rightfully because of what he did to deceive his brother and his father, that as he lays down one night in Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, he has a what, Chandler Church? A dream. In which he sees a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. So often, Chandler Church, we expect a direct revelation of God. So often, Chandler Church, we expect God to speak to us and talk directly, and we wonder why the communication of God with the church is not as fervent now as it was back then, when in reality, God is speaking to all of us, and many of us are not listening. You know, someone might say, well, Pastor Shane, I have really weird dreams, and I don't know why I dream about things that I dream about. And when we look at the dreams in the Bible, like Jacob's ladder or some of these other dreams or visions that people have in their sleep, it seems like they're so clear and not convoluted and not awkward and weird. But Pastor Shane, sometimes I have weird dreams, and I don't know why or how I could have a dream like that. You know, friends, when you study through the scriptures, in the scriptures, some of the godly people of the Bible lore had really weird dreams as well. In Genesis chapter 31, we are told of a dream that Jacob has as he leaves his stepfather Laban, who's been mistreating him and getting over on him and not doing good things to him. The Bible says that as he considers staying away from his stepfather, it says in Genesis 31 that Jacob has a dream. And it happened at the times when the flocks were mating that I lifted my eyes, and Jacob says, I had a what, church? I had a dream. Now, friends of mine, I have to be honest here. This is a really awkward, weird dream. Elder Holcomb and I, who's one of my best friends in the church, we had a discussion the other day about types of videos or shows that we should allow our children and young people to watch. And I reminded him lovingly, Elder Holcomb, there are some things in the Bible that are R-rated. And he said, really? Where? And we talked about some of those things, and he kind of reconsidered. But Jacob here is having an awkward dream. He's having a dream about flocks of sheep that are mating. And in the dream, he says, I saw, and the rams came down upon the flocks that were streaked and speckled and gray-spotted, and they started mating with them. And the angel of the Lord spoke to me in the what, Chandler Church? In the dream, saying, Jacob, I said, here I am. And he said, lift your eyes up and see. All the rams which leap, folks, we're all adults here, on the flocks are streaked and speckled and gray-spotted. And then God gives him the interpretation. He says, Jacob, I see all that your stepfather is doing to you. Now, friends of mine, let me say this here today. All of us being adults, that if one of us were to stand up during praise and prayer time and say, Pastor, I had this dream. And in this dream, sheep were mating. And I just go to Clyde, cut the audio. Just cut the sound. Just Matthew J, just cut it. Because sometimes we think our dreams are so weird, they can't be from God. But I would submit to us today respectfully that a dream this awkward suggests that maybe our God, with the adult reference made into this dream about how his stepfather is treating Jacob, shows that our Jesus has a down-to-earth sense of humor. Do you follow me? He says, I see what your stepfather is doing to you. And friends of mine, not only does God speak to Jacob, but he speaks to the stepfather. showing you, Chandler Church, that you don't have to fight for yourself. You don't have to defend yourself. You don't have to take care of yourself. God can take care of you. Amen? And so God, at the same time, he's giving Jacob the dream about the sheep coming down and the sheep mating that are speckled with the others in the flock. He comes to Laban and he says, in a what, Chandler Church? A dream. Take heed that you speak not to Jacob either good or bad. God says, I know what your stepfather is doing to you. I know what's going on in your life. I know the hardship that you're enduring. I know the persecution that's going on. But I want you to go back to Laban because I'm in control of your life. I've got you covered. I know how bad it is. I know how painful it is. I know how hard it is. But you go on back and let me do my job. Amen? And when God does his job, he speaks to Laban in a dream as well. Chandler Church, I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas where we as a church start to hear the voice of God again and realize that God is communicating to us day by day and night by night. Can you say amen? Someone might say, well, Pastor Shane, what happens if I tell people that I have these dreams? What will people think? Will they think that I'm kind of awkward and strange? Will they think that I'm weird? Will they think that I'm egocentric and focused on myself? Short answer, yes. But if God is speaking to you, does it matter? You see, God spoke to Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 37, verse 1 through 10. And God gave Joseph a dream of one sheaf surrounded by 12 other sheaves, and all the other sheaves bowed down to him. You know that, right? So he goes and he tells his brothers and his father, he shares with them the dream that he has. And the Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 5, that Joseph dreamed a what, Chandler Church, eh? A dream. And he told his brothers what the dream meant, and the Bible says that they hated him even more. The dream was this. There they were, binding sheaves in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose up and remained standing, and then their sheaves gathered around, and they bowed down to mine. He had to preach and teach and tell the message, and friends of mine, it was not pleasant, their reaction to his dream. But was that dream from God, yes or no? Yes, it was. Was it the truth, yes or no? And that dream and the sharing of that message was that which instigated the persecution of Joseph by his brothers. They then sold him into slavery. God was working through the dream and the message to fulfill God's purpose in Joseph's life. And so again, Joseph has another dream. He says, and check this out, guys. The sun, moon, and stars, they bowed down to me as well. Oh, they were hot in the collar after that one. So he told it to his father, and he told it to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come down and bow down to the earth before you? And all his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. You know, Chandler Church, sometimes I've had people say to me, Pastor Shane, why do we pass the mic around during testimony time? Why do we do that? I see some of your faces sometimes when some folks get up on the microphone. We make those faces, you know, we get a little bit nervous, don't we, huh? Get a little bit nervous. We pass it around because God may have a message or a word for our church, amen? God may have an inspiration or an encouraging message that we all need to hear aside from the sermon. Can you say amen? And so it is that we've lost track of that as a church. We have fallen prey to the trick of the devil that when God tries to speak to us at night, Jackie, through our dreams and give us messages and visions and interpretations and communications, we've lost that because we may worry about what other people think. Friends of mine, if God is speaking to you, be faithful to that message. Can you say amen? God's dreams are bigger for you than they are the dreams you have for yourself. God's dreams for you are bigger than your own. And so it is at night, some of you, those dreams, those visions you've been having, God is speaking to some of you because God wants to meet with you in a quiet place where you and God alone can share the vision that he has for your life, and you can choose if you want to abide for it. Friends of mine, don't you listen to Sigmund Freud. Don't you listen to modern psychologists. Don't you listen to those who are trying to diminish the power of God's revelation in your heart and your mind and your life. God is speaking to each and every one of you today. Do you believe that? God spoke to Joseph in Genesis 39, and he helped Joseph through his dreams interpret the dreams of other people. For those of you who know your Bibles, you know that Joseph went on to continue dreaming, and that Joseph was in the prison after Potiphar's wife put him there. And that in prison, when Joseph was interpreting the dreams of other prisoners, he let them know what God had in store for their life and their future. You know, in the church, some of us have not only the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, but I believe that the church should have the gift of dreams and the interpretation of dreams. Do you believe that today? So I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas. Our church, our people, our Christians, our disciples, that we begin to rediscover the power of God communicating to us through us. And so it is through this gift that God gave to Joseph that God says to Joseph, Joseph, I want you also to interpret the dream of Pharaoh. You know that story in the Bible where Pharaoh sees seven fat cows and seven skinny cows, and the fat cows represent 7 years of prosperity coming forward and 7 years of famine. And through Joseph's guidance and direction to Pharaoh, he helps Egypt navigate the troubled and murky waters. Friends of mine, do you think you have some troubled and murky waters ahead? If you studied current events, you better believe it. I've specifically had times as a pastor where I've been blessed where Elder Mertis and Danny have told me about dreams that they've had, told me about things, and I know that God has given them that dream, that prophetic utterance. I know, and it's true. It harmonizes with the Bible. It harmonizes with the spirit of prophecy, and I know that some of you are getting those same messages too. So when we look at the Christmas season, the first advent of Christ that was governed and guided by dreams. As we near the second coming of Christ, you don't think there's going to be dreams in the church again? You better reconsider. So Genesis 41 says, you know, there were seven cows fat that came up out of the Nile, and they grazed marsh, and seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and gaunt, and the lean, ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. Yet when they had devoured them, they could not be detected that they had to devoured. And just as they were ugly as before, I saw also in my what, Chandler Church? In my dream, seven ears, full and good, and came up on a single stalk, and lo, seven ears withered within, and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them, and the thin ears swallowed the seven good. All of that in a dream. And the first dream that God gave to Joseph, that his brothers and his father and his family would bow down to them, sure enough, just as God gave the dream, God fulfilled the dream. Genesis 42 verse 6 says, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brothers came, and what did they do, church? Just as God said, they what? Bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. Don't you be afraid to testify before kings and princes and counselors and governors. If God gives you that dream and God tells you to give it, you give it. Amen? Not all of your dreams are for everybody. Not all of those visions are meant to be shared in church. But if God says share it, you share it. Amen? If it steps on Pastor Shane's toes, it's got to step on Pastor Shane's toes. Amen? We've got to speak and preach and use the gift. I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas, Chandler Church. Where the church doesn't play church anymore, but we experience the power of God. Amen. Pastor Shane, come on. Aren't all the dreams we have, aren't they coming from eating too late? I just had that tofu too late, Pastor Shane, and that's why I had that awkward, crazy dream. You know why we think that, beloved? We think that because we don't think that we're significant or important enough for God to communicate with us. But the Bible tells me that in Judges chapter 7, when God was working through Gideon and the Israelites to prepare them to overtake the Midianites, that God gave a dream to a Midianite soldier. He wasn't even in the family of Israel or part of the winning team. And as Gideon was doing recon on the Midianites, sneaking up and looking at their camp, the Bible says that when Gideon came up, behold, there was a man that told a what, everyone? A dream to his fellow. and said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream." And his fellow answered, because the dream said that a barley loaf would come tumbling into their camp and it would knock down all of the tents. And the man said, "This dream is nothing else except the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel." Friends of mine, if you don't realize that God is speaking not only to the losing team trying to get their minds right, you'll never accept that God is speaking to you. Chandler Church, I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas, just like the ones they used to know. When dreams were not a byproduct of what we ate late at night, or byproduct of our subconscious mind, but God himself moving in the hearts and the minds of men. And I long for the day when our church recovers the power of the prophetic that we had at its inception. Amen? They didn't have AV and audio and PowerPoint and screens. They had the Spirit of God. They had the real thing and the real deal. Someone saying to Pastor Shane, "What is Pastor Shane talking about dreams today?" It's all from the Bible, baby. You see it, don't you? And not one of those Bible people said, "Oh, you know what? That's what Sigmund Freud was talking about, or that's from Eden too late." All of them said, "This is God speaking to us." And so it was when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he did what, Chandler Church? He worshipped. You know, those dreams governed and guided by God, they give us inspiration and praise because we know that God is with us when we dream. Amen? We often say in our evangelism, a Seventh-day Adventist, death is like a sleep. And if death is like a sleep, some of those sleeps that I sleep where I just wake up and there's no dream, I said, boy, that's quick. But you know what? When I have a dream late at night, it feels like that dream goes on for a long time and there's something special happening. That's not death. That's one-on-one communication with God as he's speaking to my soul. Can you say amen? Someone says, "Pastor Shane, you know what? Is the church asleep today?" I hear that today all the time. The church is asleep. The church is asleep. The church is asleep. I say, that's okay as long as they're dreaming. As long as they're speaking directly to God. On this Sabbath day, this day of rest, some of you need to go home and take a nap and hear from Jesus. Amen? Some of us need to be still and hear and know that he is the Lord. And that's why God speaks to us there. So often we hear about these stories and these narratives in the Bible, and we don't know how they come. We think that they had direct revelation presences of God in their life. But when God came to Moses in the bush, he said, "I've got to hide myself in the bush because you can't be in my direct presence." So more often than not, God, he comes to us when we're still, when we're quiet, when we're passive, when we're resting, when there's no distractions and other things. And he says, "I want to give you a vision." And just like I say, hey, folks, come on, use your gift. Come up here, preach and speak and teach and sing and use the gift. You have the gift of dream. God is speaking to many of you, and we are letting those messages, those hidden manna from heaven, fall to the ground and be wasted. Do you hear me today, church? I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas, just like the ones they used to know. When they understood that those dreams, those were not something to be wasted, those were something to be held on to because God was speaking and guiding and governing. Can you say amen today? So it is when Solomon, the leader of the church during his day, was asleep, as God used Solomon to become one of the wisest men that the world has ever seen in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5 through 15. You remember and recall that this interaction, this gift of wisdom from God to Solomon, it came in a what, everyone? It came in a dream. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, Leslie. It says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And in the dream, God said to Solomon, 'Ask what I shall give to you.'" So Solomon, within the dream, he says, "Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad." Can you say amen today? God wants to talk with you at night, beloved. And you don't have to be conscious to participate. You might say, Pastor Shane, why? Why does God speak to people in dreams as opposed to just talking to them with voice? You know, very often I speak to my friends who are pastors within our denomination who are Hispanic. And all of my Hispanic pastor friends say, Shane, don't you know that Spanish is the language of heaven? I said, really, is it? But I ask you today, beloved, what is the language of heaven? With so many languages that all of us have, so many different dialects, what is the dialect that God speaks in? I'd submit to you today that the one language we all have in common, the one thing that we all see together, is our vision. Can you say amen? And thus it is the age-old adage that we know that a picture is worth a thousand words is the same reason that God gives us dreams and visions. Have you ever had that dream or vision at night where it seems like it goes on for a little bit and then it's over? But the dream is so significant that it says so much to you. All throughout our world, we put pictures on the wall. We very rarely hang words or text because the picture, the image, the visage, it says so much. This picture hangs in my office. It's a picture, Pastor Ingram, of Jesus washing Peter's feet, and it reminds me constantly that I need to be a servant, that I need to be humble. And I constantly look back to this picture, and every time I look back to it, it says something else, something different. It tells me more. Every time I look back to the visage, the image, I see something about Jesus' hands. I see something about the cloth. I see something about Peter's disposition. And every time the picture expounds and it grows, and this picture, it's worth so many words. And so it is, friends, the universal language of heaven is not simply words or a dialect. It's what God reveals to us through our understanding. Can you say amen? And that's why we Seventh-day Adventists know better than anybody. When we study prophecy and we go back to the prophecies year by year, we look at, for example, in Daniel chapter 2, the image of the metallic man with a head of gold, arms and chest of brass, of silver, a belly of brass, and then legs of iron. We see that this message is expounding and growing as time progresses. We still have not exhausted the meaning of this prophecy, which is why we go back to it and study it. Amen? And how did this prophecy come? Who knows? How did it come? In a dream. God didn't sit Daniel or Nebuchadnezzar down and say, hey, let me tell you about what I'm going to do in the future. He gave them a dream. Someone might say, well, Pastor Shane, sometimes I have bad dreams, so I don't really like my dreams. Friends of mine, even bad dreams that come from God are a good thing. Can you say amen? Not sure if you believe it. Nebuchadnezzar did. For those of you out there who know your Bibles in Daniel chapter 4, you know that God gave to Nebuchadnezzar a dream. And it was of a large tree. And this large tree represented him and his kingdom. And in the dream, the tree was cut down. So Nebuchadnezzar says that after his tree was cut down and he was humbled, and it meant that he had to repent and give his heart to God, he says this in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all people, all nations, all languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it was good to show you the signs and the wonders that God has worked toward me. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders, his kingdom an everlasting kingdom. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house, flourishing in my palace, and I saw a what, church? A dream. A dream. And did the dream make him happy? Yes or no? The dream made him afraid. And the thoughts on my bed and the visions of my head, they troubled me. But when he started his discourse to us, he started that this was a good thing. It's a sign, it's a wonder, and God has blessed me through this dream. And so often, friends, when we study prophecy and we look at the things in Scripture that are maybe a little bit scary for us, if God has given them to us, they are for a very good reason. Amen? And Jeff, even as Nebuchadnezzar saw his tree cut down, saw himself humbled, saw his empire fall through his dream and his vision, he says, I give praise and honor to God that God would speak to me at all. This is a glorious good thing. Friends of mine, when God communicates with us as a church, it's because God loves us and wants the best for us. Can you say amen? Amen. So church, I say this, Sherman, I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas where God restores the prophetic vision to the church. And the church realizes that God is speaking to us day by day and night by night. Can you say amen? Because that prophecy that we study, we go very often straight to the prophecy and straight to the beast and straight to the interpretation, but we fail to neglect to say and teach that the prophecy came to Daniel through a what, church? A? Daniel chapter 7. It was a dream that God gave him at night. Someone might say, well, Pastor Shane, I don't know if I want to have dreams like that. I would submit to you, friends, that not having dreams like that is even worse. For those of you who know the ancient Eastern Oriental wise man named Confucius, history tells us that near the end of his life, he was speaking to his protege and his young apprentice, and he said, I have had a dream. I am going to die. And he said this, no mighty prince has come for me, and no counselor has come to take me as his aide. Friends of mine, if we don't have a vision of the Prince of Peace, the wonderful, mighty counselor, at the end of our lives, there's nothing but despair and sadness and destitute. We need to have a vision, an image, a dream, a goal, an aspiration of Jesus Christ and what he wants to do. His vision is the aspiration, the hope of our hearts, because where there is no vision, the people do what? They perish. And for all of his wisdom, all of his knowledge, all that he knew, Confucius said at the end of his life, the prince is not in my life. The counselor is not a part of who and what I am. Friends, if you let Jesus into your heart, Jesus will speak to you, he'll show you, he'll reveal to you, he'll guide you, he'll govern you, he'll help you throughout your hope and your life. Amen? And I want that in my life. Some might say, Pastor Shane, that's wishful thinking for our lives. For all the church to have dreams and visions and for the church to look at what God is trying to show us, I reject that thought. I don't say it's wishful thinking. I submit to the church today that that's the promise that God gave us in Joel chapter 2. Amen? God said it will come to pass afterward. That is in the last days. God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will do what? They will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. I'm dreaming, Jackie, of a sight Christmas, just like the ones they used to know. When the power of God and the Holy Spirit was poured out into the church, and the church heard and knew and understood that God was alive in their midst and speaking to them. Can you say amen today? You know, this church was started by dreamers. You know that, right? And somewhere along the way, we've become sterile and antiseptic. We're afraid of dreams and visions and testimonies. Nobody wants to be that guy or that gal who stands up and says, God said this to me. You stand up for Jesus because he hung on a cross for you. I know you dreamers are out there. And this Christmas season, when we look at Christmas, the first coming of Christ was guided and governed the whole process through dreams. Can't hide it, can't avoid it. It's the word of God, amen? And if we believe we are part of the remnant church should be guided and governed by dreams. That's what we see in our history, amen? But is it done? Was she the last? Are there no more dreams to be had? Are there no more visions to be shared? I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, a sight Christmas, just like the ones they used to know, she used to have, amen? I believe there's still dreamers left. And while she tells us that we are right now in the time of the investigative judgment, I believe that she was not the last dreamer, and I believe that God is speaking to you dreamers at night as well. Right now, before the second coming of Christ, I believe that those dreams and visions you have at night, no, they're not from Sigmund Freud's subconscious coming up in you. They're not from that late night tofu. They're from God guiding and governing us through the investigative judgment. Because when Jesus was on judgment 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God was working in the church and around it to guide and govern it as well. You know, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 19, that when Pilate had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent a message to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a what? In a dream because of him." Jesus is speaking to each and every one of you. And the church needs to be dreaming if it's asleep. Can you say amen today? Today, Chandler Church, as we go into the Christmas season, as we consider the first advent of Jesus Christ, I want you to consider as you go home and study and reread and look at the whole narratives, the part and the point that the whole world has left out. That we look at the shepherds and we talk about the shepherds and the angels and the interaction, but the whole thing was guided, the whole thing was governed, the whole thing was directed as God spoke to the first family through dreams. And I believe that God is speaking to his extended family today. That as we anxiously anticipate the second coming of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is trying to prepare you, guide you, govern you, lead you, and grant you wisdom and understanding. So I, Chandler Church, of all the things that I could ask for, I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas just like the ones they used to know, where we rediscover the messages that God has for us. Here's what I ask of you this Christmas season, Chandler Church, and I ask you to do it. I ask you to have four books by the side of your bed. How many did I say? Four books by the side of your bed. Book number one is your Bible. Can you say amen? Because we need the Word of God. Amen. Book number two is your Spirit of Prophecy book of choice. Amen. Because we need her interpretation of the Scriptures to help guide us and govern. That was the dreamer who founded our church, and I believe that she's a darn good one. Amen. We want the Bible and we want the Spirit of Prophecy. The third book I want you to have by your bed is your book of prayer requests. And I've talked about this before, that when you pray, Jeff, write down whatever prayer request you have on the front page, and then whenever that prayer request gets answered, go back and write that prayer answer in so you see and have a track of how God works in your life. Ellen White told us we have nothing to fear for the future except the way we forget the way that God has led in the past. The fourth and final book is this. The book right next to your bed is the one that when you wake up in the morning, you open that book up and you write down the dream that God himself gave you that night. That night you may not get it, that morning you may not get it, but somewhere down the road, God may help you understand what he's doing or what his plan is or what his will is for your life. See, I have a friend of mine, a dear pastor who I love and appreciate, and he says so often he's trying to communicate with his son when he's upstairs and his son is downstairs playing video games. And he says, I'll be at the top of the stairs and I'll call down and I'll say, Evan, Evan, Evan. And as he's calling down, Evan is so distracted with the video game, he can't hear the voice of God. But Dr. Dawson, I believe that God, like my friend, he's calling down to each and every one of us. And we are so distracted by the world, by the impressions, by the philosophies and the ideologies, we don't believe, like all those throughout the Bible, that when God speaks to us in a dream, it comes from God. I want us to get back to understanding what God is saying to us. Can you say amen today? Church, I want you to write those things down. And don't let those golden, hidden manna nuggets that fall from heaven fall by the wayside. I'm dreaming of a sight Christmas. And I look forward to hearing from you. The gift of message, the gift of vision, the Spirit of Prophecy that God still has in his church. Can you say amen today?